Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
Have you ever faced a situation where you felt all alone and that you had no one around you to help you? Have you ever gone through a situation where you thought, man, I'm the only one going through this. No one can understand what I'm going through. And maybe you even don't have people around you to walk through this challenge with you. And maybe I'm talking to someone today. You're going through a tough situation in your life, and you're going through it alone. You have no one to reach out to. And you're carrying this cross and you're carrying this burden every day. And yes, it could be an issue of guilt or shame or pain, an issue of lack, of defeat, of fear, anxiety. And it just closed in your own world all by yourself, and you're walking through this alone. And maybe that's where you are right now. I think about a lioness that is trying to hunt zebra. What it does when it's hunting the zebra, it follows closely behind this herd of zebras, this group of zebras that are running along, and it follows closely behind. And slowly as these animals run in a herd, there'll be one zebra maybe that will just drift off to the side. And what the lion does as it is hunting this one zebra is that it doesn't run after the zebra itself, because it knows in doing that, that one zebra is going to run back to the herd. What it does is that it chases after the gap between this one zebra and the herd of zebras. It chases after that gap and stands in the way of that zebra and the herd of zebras. And suddenly, this zebra is all alone, and it tries to run farther and farther away from this lion, but by doing that, it is running farther and farther away from the herd of zebras, and now it's on its own facing a hungry lioness. Maybe that's how you feel. You're on your own. You've tried everything. You've not told anyone about it. You're struggling, you're anxious, you're afraid, you want to give up. Is it a money issue? Is it a relationship at home? Is it about your future? Is it about your present circumstance? And somehow you feel that you are on your own, and that the devil has you where he wants you so that he can crush you. For the zebra, safety and strength comes from running back to the herd. When it runs back to the herd, there is safety in the group. There is strength that comes from the group. Now, the lion is not just dealing with one zebra, it's dealing with a herd of zebras. In the same way for you, my friend, strength comes when you are connected to a group of people who believe in Jesus. Strength comes when you are connected to a little group of people who are willing to stand with you, who are willing to fight for you, who are willing to stand with you in faith so that you can overcome that challenge that you are going through, that thing that you think no one can understand, that no one can fathom, that issue that you are dealing with on your own and you're not willing to share it. That thing you can easily deal with when you get connected to a group of people whose faith is in Jesus, and they believe nothing is impossible for him, and what he has done for them, he can do for you. There is strength in being part of such a group. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to 10, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. See, God's intention for you and I has always been for us to do life together, to depend on each other, even in our faith. This life that we live by faith every day, God has not designed for you to live that life on your own. God wants us to do life together, friends, so that we can build each other up in our faith, so that we can stand with each other and encourage each other in this journey of faith. Together, we are stronger. Will you turn to your neighbor to the left and to the right and say, I need you and you need me. That's the one of the things I really love about our vision here at Watoto Church. Our strength is found in the small groups that we're a part of. We call them cells. Just like the cell is the smallest unit of a body. God has allowed us, Watoto Church, to be a small group church, a cell church. And when you come to church like this on a weekend, there is so many people around you. Just in this service alone, there's probably 800 people here right now. And it's very easy for you to walk into church like this and yet leave empty, leave discouraged, leave feeling all alone. No one understands. No one cares. But you can find strength away from church, in your community, in a small group called a cell. A cell is a group of 5 to 10 Watoto Church members that regularly meet somewhere in your community so that we can build loving relationships with each other and build each other up in our faith, but through our relationships together, touch those around us with the love of Jesus. And when you come here in the midst of a crowd and these large numbers, it's hard to find that. We're here for an hour and a half and we are on our way. And maybe your neighbor sitting around you didn't ask about what you were going through. But when you go out there in community, I want to encourage you, don't do life alone. Do life with a group of Watoto Church members whose faith is in Jesus and they're willing to stand with you. And this is the lesson we learned today. We're going to turn to Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Will you turn there in your Bibles? We're going to read this incredible story. And I just want to encourage you, listen, our cells are little communities, little faith communities, where we gather together and stand with one another in faith. And you no longer have to do life on your own. Listen, friends, God designed that you would do life in community. I love what Mark chapter 2 verse 1 to 12 points out to us. This story is about Jesus healing a paralyzed man. The Bible tells us a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that he had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man carried by 4 of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this was what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat and go home." He got up, took his mat, and walked out in full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this. Wow, give glory to God for such a word and a story of an actual event that happened. I love this story. Do you notice that the men were aware of the issue that this man was dealing with? They were aware that he was paralyzed and that he needed to be healed. While we read the story, did you notice that these four men took that paralyzed man to Jesus? Did you notice that the strength of their faith was greater than the gravity of his condition? Did you notice as we read the story, the practical demonstration of the faith of these four men, their determination and persistence for the paralytic to be healed? And did you notice that Jesus responds to the faith of the four men on behalf of the paralytic? It's a powerful story. And from this story, I want you to realize that there will be times when you are the paralytic. There will be times when you are the paralytic. The paralytic in this story is a person that represents people that have needs. People that have needs. There will be times that you are in need and that you are depending on those around you to carry you to Jesus, who is the miracle worker. Sometimes you are the paralytic. You have a need that's overwhelming. And you need someone to carry you to Jesus. Our needs are many. Spiritual needs. We have emotional needs. We have financial needs. We have so many needs. A thing I love about belonging to a cell is this, friend. The thing I love about belonging to that small faith community is that God is going to surround you with people who are willing and who are able to carry you to Jesus. They're willing to carry you to the miracle worker so that you don't have to carry that burden on your own. And some of us are good at putting up a face. When we show up at church, praise the Lord, hallelujah, glory to God, I'm not complaining, but inside you are falling apart. God is calling us to be people of faith. Not people who are walking in denial, but people who recognize what we are going through, but are able to say, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And you connect with people who have that perspective of life, that no matter what you're going through, we are going to carry you to the one who is able to turn your situation around for your good and for his glory. You need those people in your life. You need to be a part of a little faith community where people are saying, listen, it doesn't matter what you are going through. If your faith is weak, we are going to stand with you and carry you to the miracle worker. And some of us, we insist on doing life alone. No wonder that thing that you carry, you have carried for years. God has designed that you will do life with other people. And as long as you insist to do life alone, listen, there are some struggles you will never defeat. There is power in corporate faith. When we put our faith together, Jesus does incredible things. We see it from this story. The four men brought the paralytic to Jesus. And Jesus was amazed at their faith. Jesus responds to corporate faith because there are times, friends, when you don't have the faith to deal with your own situation. And maybe that's what you're going through right now. You don't even know how to pray anymore. You're just about to give up. You've prayed and done everything you possibly can. And you've come to that place where you no longer even have faith for that thing that you are facing. And you have a need. That's why scriptures in the Bible where Jesus said, listen, if two of you agree touching anything and ask of my Father in heaven, it shall be done. There is a time when you need to join with the faith of others. It's about faith in community. It is about little faith communities where you gather together weekly and you believe God regardless of the situation that you are facing. And Jesus honors that kind of faith too when you come together. Listen, where you are weak, someone in your community is strong. Some of us keep on insisting. We do life on our own. We do life on our own, and that's not God's design for your life. How much longer are you going to reject God's design for life? Thinking that you are a superstar. Thinking that you can take on the world on your own. God has placed a community of people who have faith in Jesus around and about you, and is calling you to regularly interact with them so that through collective faith, through corporate faith, two are better than one. You will be able to see God do something significant in your life. Are you hearing me, Watoto Church? Let's not insist on doing life the way God doesn't want it to be done. This paralytic man was somewhere in his community. He couldn't help himself. He was paralyzed. He couldn't take himself to Jesus. But thank God there were some four men in his community who came and carried him to Jesus. And they were willing to climb and dig through the roof and lower him to Jesus. They were so determined. They're like, listen, my friend, today is the day for your miracle. And you need people like that in your life. People who are willing to say, listen, you will not die young. You will live to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You need some people around you who are going to say, this is your time. God is going to open a door for you to get that job. You need to have people in your life who said, listen, you're not going to lose one more baby. We are going to believe God for a full term of pregnancy. And you will be healthy. And that child will be healthy. You need people who are able to say, listen, though the enemy comes against you with witchcraft, the Spirit of God is going to raise a standard for you. He's going to fight for you. You need that community of faith. Because you have a need. And on your own, you're struggling, but you're not willing to open up. Listen, the Word of God is telling us we need people. This journey of faith, you will not do it alone and succeed. The Bible says now we have a great cloud of witnesses around us. So let us run with perseverance this race that has been marked out for us. How do we run it? By fixing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith. We run it with those around us. We don't run it alone. We run it with those around us. I hope you hear me. This is God's word for you. Listen, we are ending the series on faith today. Recognize a life of faith is not done alone. A successful life of faith is done in a community of faith. I remember with this one moment, I'd come to work in the morning and my wife was on holiday. She needed to go somewhere. And when she left home, she was driving away and she hit this corner, and she was driving, and this police officer waves her down. And so she pulls over, and the officer comes to her. It is you. You have done it. You are the one. He's like, I'm the one? What have I done? It is you. Are you arguing with me? Like, I'm not arguing with you. What have I done? The guy says, get out of the car. What have I done? It so happened that there was an accident around the area and they had failed to arrest someone. And so they needed someone to take the fall for it. So when my wife hit that turn, they pulled her over. It was so bad. She called me. She said, Brian, I don't know what's going on. These guys are telling me I've knocked this guy. I haven't knocked this guy. This is what's going on. And now they're telling me I need to go to the police station. We're going to make a statement. And they took her there and she wrote and she was denying it. And they were insisting she was the one. And said, yes, we saw your Noah. You're the one who knocked. And she called me and said, I don't know what to do. But I thank God that in that moment I had a community of people of faith around me. I reached out to a couple of friends here. They said, no, don't worry. Let's pray. I was in the parking lot that day. We prayed. We said, God, will you just bring peace to this situation? And God, just make something happen right now. A friend of mine came to my mind. Actually, he's our cell host. And I called him. I said, listen, this is what's going on. My wife has been stopped by police and they're accusing her falsely for knocking a guy and running away. Now they're stopping her and they've taken her to a police station. This is where it is. And this man of faith, he's a well-known member of our community. And he's a high-ranking official in the army. And he's our cell host. And the guy said, no, Pastor, let's pray. We prayed and said, let me go there. Now, this guy always leaves for work very early. But this one day, he delayed. And I called him and he was there. And he said, I'm going there right now. He drove over. As soon as he pulled up like this and he stepped out of the car, the guys realized, this woman is connected. We have just made a mistake. And he walks up and he's gentle about the whole issue. Hello, how are you guys? What's going on here? No, what's going on? We're just trying to find out information from this lady about what's really going on. And he began to change their stories. And she was looking at them like, tell him the truth. And she began to narrate one by one the things that had happened. And then the guy said, but guys, we're here to serve our nation. Why would you do such a thing? And he began to talk to them and he expressed himself. And they began to say, Afande, Afande. They began laughing there. They laughed for 5 minutes. In the end, the guy just turned to my wife and said, you go, we shall call in case anything comes up. And from that day, they've never called her again. That was because I belong to a small community of people of faith who, before they even step into a situation that they think they can handle, they say, let's pray. Let's invite God into the middle of this situation. And what I thought was going to be a long court case dragged out, listen, because I had people of faith who were saying, let us invite God to take care of this thing. Within a few minutes, that thing was dealt with and my wife was let go. I remember one cell member of ours, she wanted her husband to get saved. She'd done everything she could. She reached out to him, and every cell, whenever we said, hey, what are our prayer needs? She'd always say, hey, pray for my husband to get saved. Pray for my husband to get saved. It's incredible. One day he was in gym. He got a heart attack. He passed away suddenly, just like that. But the week before, she wasn't at home. She had to travel, and she had to ask him to take the kids to church. He always dropped them off at church and he would go somewhere, just come and pick them. But this time, because his wife wasn't around, he said, you know, let me just go and sit in the service, wait. Whenever they are done, I'll take the kids home. He stayed in the service. That day we were preaching the series on the end times and was saying, Jesus is coming back. Give your heart to Jesus. And the trumpet, remember that day? When they played the trumpet, it was so scary. Some of you thought Jesus had come back that very day. Well, it so happened he was so afraid. He gave his life to Jesus. That day in the service, he gave his life to Jesus. When she came home from her trip, she noticed the guy had begun reading the Bible with the kids every day before they went to sleep. And he always prayed. And in the bedroom, she found his little Now What book, the book we give to people who have just given their lives to Jesus. And his name was written in that book. He had given his life to Jesus. And a week later, he passed away. He's now in heaven. Because there was a community of people of faith who were standing with his wife and praying the word of God over his life and believing God for salvation. That guy is now seated in heaven with Jesus and is enjoying salvation forevermore. Why? There was a community of people who were willing to stand with our friend. She had a need, and her need was that she needed her husband to be saved. And God answered that prayer. Friends, there is power when you come together in your little faith community. And according to the word of God, you declare his word over situations. Those things begin to align with the word of God. There'll be times when you are the paralytic and you have a need. But there'll also be times, friends, when you are like the four men carrying the paralytic on the mat. There'll be times when it is you that has to carry someone to Jesus. Yes, there are times when you have a need, but there's a time when someone else has a need and you need to carry them to Jesus. And God is counting on you as a man and a woman of faith to not just live a selfish life where you pray for me, myself, and I, but where you're able to carry others to the one who is the miracle worker, Jesus Christ himself. And faith puts us in a place where we must stand in the gap for others. Where you are aware of what is going on in other people's lives and God is counting on you to lift them to Jesus in prayer. And to lift them to Jesus in prayer. And when we fast and when we gather every time, you say, listen, I'm standing in faith with you and God is going to do something amazing for you. Motivated by a love for each other in our small groups. We must be willing to press through the inconveniences. These guys had to press through a crowd. I don't know what you have to press through. Maybe you have such a busy week you don't think you even have time to pray for other people. You've got to press through those inconveniences. Maybe you need to start visiting people and becoming acquainted and familiar with what are people really going through. How can I stand with people in faith? How can I be that voice of faith? How can I be that hand of faith that is lifting up people and encouraging them to fix their eyes on Jesus so they can see Jesus do something incredible for them? You have to be like those four men who are willing to dig through the roof, who are willing to do whatever it takes to help someone find their miracle. God is counting on you. You can't insist on doing life alone. It doesn't work. People need you. People need to hear your words of encouragement. People need to hear you say the word of God into their lives. People need you to walk up to them and say, listen, do not give up. Everything is going to be okay. People need to hear you pick up the phone and say, listen, I'm praying with you. In fact, I'm praying with you right now. People need you to pick up the phone and text them and say, listen, by the stripes of the blood of Jesus, you are healed and I'm believing God right now. People need to hear you say, listen, I've taken off time to fast and pray for your family and your marriage is going to be okay. People need you in their lives. You can't insist on doing life alone. It doesn't work. Galatians chapter 6 verse 2. Paul said, carry each other's burdens and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is this, friends, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. And love your neighbor as you love yourself. When you carry each other's burdens, you are fulfilling the law of Christ, which is love. Living for yourself is the smallest life you will ever live. It's the most frustrating life you will ever live. The most unfulfilling life you'll ever live is when you constantly leave this place and go and live for yourself through the week and come back here again and go and come back and go and come back like a routine living for yourself. People need you. James chapter 2 verse 15 to 18. Scripture tells us, suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Well, show me your faith without deeds and I'll show you my faith by my deeds. You've got to get involved in people's lives. And do something. Pray for them. Ask questions. Insist on visiting them. call them, check up on them. In my cell, every time we stand with this lady in our cell who has a child, and we always pay fees for that child. I remember one of our cell members who really wanted to go to this university in England, and she was like, just that, my heart is set in that, and I'm believing God for that. And we prayed for months, and God made a way. He answered. We took her to the Lord in prayer. God did it for her. I remember in our married cell, we have a friend who lost his father and mother in the space of 5 months, and who were there praying and encouraging and speaking the word of God to lift up his heart and to lift up his spirit. We raised money to support the burial costs, but we were also there visiting and making sure that his spirit was lifted and encouraged. I remember a cell member of ours who opened up to me about a really private situation, something that had happened in her life, a painful situation. I remember God just allowing me to speak life and encouragement and words of hope, and would pray together. And I really celebrate that lady, because we were able to stand together in faith. She is now our intern cell leader, and she's doing an incredible job encouraging others with the same encouragement she received. How was she able to experience such a turnaround? Because she belongs to a community of faith where people are able to say, listen, you will see the goodness of God in your life. I hope you hear the voice of God today. Jesus is calling us to live by faith, Watoto Church. And not just individually, but corporately. Not like this. This is important. Come to church. It's important. But when you leave church, don't do life alone. Gather with a small group of believers. The Bible says, do not give up the habit of meeting one with another. Because there is power when we come together in faith. Your little faith community called cell will be the strength that you need. And as you live this life of faith in that community, that little group, that community of faith called a cell, listen, not only will God surround you with people to carry you to Jesus, God is going to give you the privilege of carrying others to Jesus. When we live life that way, listen, God is going to pour out his blessing on us. We will experience all of what God wants us to experience, his good, pleasing, and perfect will in every situation of our lives. If you believe it, say amen.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.